Welcome, everyone, to the Blessings of Christ. It is Sunday, April the 26th of 2026. Gosh, we are just moving along in this year. It's just the fourth Sunday of Easter and Good Shepherd Sunday in the Catholic tradition. If that has meaning for you, I hope it fills your heart, because I'm sure there's just a lot of celebration around that for you in your life. It is for mine, for sure. But welcome to the call today, and we look forward to connecting with each other spiritually without these walls and with Glenda when she gets online. Well, Glenda, we are in record. We're in Q&A. We're ready to go, and we're happy you're here. And welcoming you today.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, this is Glenda, and welcome to our blessing call today, the presence of Christ with you, hearing your prayers, loving you in every way that you can be loved. And it's a great, interesting, great day on the scale of numbers, too. It's 26 of 26. And often in many traditions, 26 means the day, a day specially blessed by God, because the 2 and the 6 add to 8. And 8 is generally referred to as the number or the significance of infinity, which is accorded only to the grace and the life of God. So this is a day in which I would suggest you just ask for what you think is absolutely impossible, that it might take you forever to get or can't happen at all. Just go into your heart and take whatever your heart desires or needs, or for others, perhaps more prosperity for our nation, peace in the world, assistance for the little animals. I get constantly people asking me to bless some little guy that they discovered in rescue. And I send them back to a passage from Yeshua that says, not even a sparrow falls that the Creator does not see or care about. So don't think anything is too little or anything is too great. For in the scope of infinity, everything is right here. Everything is honored. Everything is kept in the care and the love of God. So let us just enjoy being together on this. Well, Nancy was just filling in. She said it's the fourth Sunday of Easter. What was it, Nancy? The Good Shepherd?
Good Shepherd Sunday, yes.
Good Shepherd Sunday. Well, let's just be a good shepherd for all those we pray for, we ask blessings for, and I will be that calling for you. So just feel free. I don't say this enough, but I want you to know, come as often as you want a blessing, and I hope it is often. There is never, ever going to be a cost for a blessing. Well, not a material or financial cost, but there is a little bit of cost to you, and it's called trust. It's called faith. It's called willing to receive and being here perhaps for another person. So, yes, there are intangible kinds of costs that you might have to muster up, and we're going to talk about that next week when we take up a different part of the chapter we're studying now. It's about forgiveness. we resist forgiveness because we think it's going to cost us something, but it doesn't. It gives us something. That's for next week. For today, our subject is just about being the love that you are, and that is without time and space. And it all starts with presence, being here now. The most important need we have in recognizing this truth is stepping outside the conditions of the world. The reason we think that love is about something we do, or about something we feel, or about something we need, or we revere, about something we express, it's because we're stuck. Well, you're not really stuck, but we think we're stuck inside a material world that has its dimensions, its diameters, its ups and downs, its weight, and its obligations. And we'll look at all of these things as conditions that have a bearing upon what we will love, what we will do, and we confuse these conditions and actions with the source of love. Well, the ultimate source, of course, is the one who created you and then made you in his image. Well, what was that? Well, no, you don't. You don't bear some body style that is likened to your creator. You don't have some eye color, skin color, stature that is likened to your creator, because your creator dwells in infinity, in spirit. And that doesn't mean that he cannot manifest and walk upon this earth, and most certainly has. But his native presence is in spirit. And so what is that native presence? It's love. And it's hard to see that. But it was a really important subject that Yeshua took up with me. The time we most are able to see love as we are is in present time, when we just take stock of the fact that here I am, and I'm so blessed and I'm so grateful just to be alive and present. And we feel like saying, thank you, God, that I'm here. Thank you for this new day, for being with me. And you touched his heart, and he touches yours, and you know that you're going to be here by his grace forever. But that doesn't mean you're going to be inside every situation in your life feeling like you're being loved, or feeling like you want to express your love outward. That doesn't always happen. And so we're going to take a look at this subject and help you be comfortable with it, because it's probably the most important subject that you can be comfortable with, because it's what connects you with all the power you have in life, all the authority you have in life, everything that's been given to you to command, to be responsible for, to assist and receive in this life. That's your special code that gets you everything you need. But we've forgotten that because we're so busy trying to insert and turn keys that have been given to us by the world. We've been given a debit card and it's got a PIN number. Okay. We've been given a certificate of professional ability, and it's got a graduation date on it. It's got a history on it. You've created a resume that gets you an interview for this, that, or something else that you want to do. You got a little money in your wallet, which means you can go into a restaurant, you can buy lunch. So we've got all kinds of keys we use to turn things. But you don't realize, or at least most of us have taken stock lately of the master key. And that master key is your presence. Just your presence. That's it. I'm not going to recite it again, but I'll refer those who've read Love Without End back to how I survived a subway encounter years and years ago in the Bronx in New York. But it wasn't just that. I survived a near, it wasn't too many years ago, I survived a near head-on collision. And that was in my car. Car coming had pulled out of their lane into my lane, coming at me probably 30 miles an hour. And I was at the speed limit, but still going 20 miles an hour, running into 30 miles an hour, could have been fatal. And all of a sudden, that driver just woke up, was startled, ran, still in my lane, but enough that we ran past each other. And all I did is I didn't panic. I didn't swerve because I would have changed in the material world had I done anything. I just went into my presence, my spirit of presence. And he was shocked. He pulled over by the road. And he said, "What just happened?" And I said, "We both almost died. But the Spirit of God just took us around each other." The same thing almost happened once with an 18-wheeler that was turning down the wrong ramp when I was coming up the ramp. How a driver with that kind of professional skill could do that, but he did. And he admitted after the event was over, he really didn't know what he was doing. But I saw it happen. And I just went into this hyper-presence of just doing what I knew I needed to do. Drove around him, got up the ramp. He got down the ramp. He parked, and he ran up to make sure I was okay. And he says, "Lady, how in the world did you do that?" I said, "I've never seen driving like that. Are you a pro?" I said, "No, I'm just faithful. God did the driving. I didn't." I had, in recent years, I had some really, really serious health diagnoses. And I found doctors that either didn't have the answer or they said, "We're not going to do anything for that because anything we do might make it worse. You just rest, be at peace with yourself, and I'll put you in physical therapy. We'll see what happens." It just went away. The presence you have is like that. Sometimes you just don't want to enter the world of navigation, negotiation, conflict, resistance, applications of effort. So many people have said they have come out of the most devastating conditions. Not only survived, but went on to great success in their life. This can even include stories of men and women who survived the Holocaust. And when asked, what is the most important thing you did? And all of them said, is I stopped resisting it because I was there at that moment where I was a point of grace for everyone else. I prayed for everyone else. I prayed that this moment would pass for everyone in a spirit of grace, even those who would be terminated. I stopped all my resistance. I just became who I am. Yes, my friends, you are that strong. But you're not that strong inside the material world, which is why people who are completely embedded in the material world can never have enough money, can never get enough alliance for their case, can never get enough legal help, because they're embedded in a world, a dimension of worldly creation, where they actually have no power. That's why bad people, and yes, there are bad people in the world, not by heaven's dimension, but by the dimension of their accumulated actions, intentions, and destructive presence in the world. Yes, there are people doing very bad things. And they lose their power because they're doing very bad things. So they keep fighting. And they keep escalating the fight. Will prayer lift them out? Well, we know there are historical examples of the fact that it can. But it is also a two-way street. It also requires faith. Faith puts you inside the love that you are. And that's when you start annihilating everything that has robbed you of your life. It's not external forces that have robbed you of your life. It's your belief in the world that has robbed you of your life. You were not created in the world. You were created by God, in the image of God, in a holy place. And then you were given the free will to go out and create your presence and the presence of living in the world. And we all did that. We all did that. But some of us forgot to forgive when it didn't go right. We forgot to recover ourselves from all the things that didn't work before they got accumulated so far that we couldn't see the sunlight anymore. Life just became dark. And in the dark, in the true dark, people don't even know what they're fighting, how they're fighting, how to get out. They just slug. And they slug some more. They don't even know how to negotiate. And you can't bring them to the negotiation table because they've lost their way. And you think, well, how can we help them? How can we help them? Well, one of the things we can do is acknowledge a few things that they still do love. In my belief, people can't remain alive unless there's something they do love. There's something they are still fighting for. Might not be something you would like, but there's something they're fighting for that they love. And that love can still be reached. We just don't like to do that because we think it might be confused with loving all the things we hate. So we get into a really big, big problem. But sometimes patience does the work. We just have to wait a little bit until there's a breakthrough, until a little ray of light comes through. Now, Yeshua said to his apostles, love your enemies. He was talking about this in a transcendent way. He didn't say, like your enemies. He never said that, ever. He said, turn the other cheek, which means don't fight back. He didn't mean that you don't have a right to protect yourself. You don't have to just offer yourself up to be more sacrificial. You don't have to suffer. You can withdraw, take care of yourself, your family, protect what you believe is right. Just don't fight back. You've got to find a way to be the love that you are. And sometimes the only way you can do that is to go be in a closet. That's the secret and the real message behind why Yeshua told his apostles to go and find a closet, shut the door, and be quiet in a dark room when you pray. Because otherwise, you're probably going to be praying from the world. You're probably going to be praying from your problem. But what works is when you pray from the love that you are. Now, why does that work? Why? That's the key we're going to be moving toward today. Why does it work to be praying from the love that you are when the problem is all these things going against you in the world? The key is when you pray from the love that you are, you touch God and God touches you. When God is in you, those problems start going away. They will not attack God. Those problems start going away. Now, sometimes it takes a little waiting. It takes a little patience. It takes a little growth in your own faith. A great historical example that is undebatable is very simply, the Romans persecuted the Christians bitterly in the first century, and even worse in the second century because the Christians were growing in strength and Rome was feeling threatened by them. But by the fourth century, Rome was in deep depression. It was losing its colonies. Its economy was failing. And its middle class was starting to study the teachings of Christ. Rome was failing. And by that time, there were enough of us that we were more than Rome. All it took was patience and growth. Patience and growth. And it came to us on its knees and said, we will stop our persecution. We will make you the official religion of Rome. If you will just give us an organized platform of theology that we can say we approve of. That's when the Council of Nicaea was written, just to give you a little historical background. And I can't, we don't have time to go into all the other details, but that's how it happened. So, yeah, it started. The Christians didn't like, the early Christians I'm talking about, they didn't like Rome. They still protected themselves from Rome. They would meet in secret places. They would not fight back against Rome. But they still continued to be the love that they are. That's the key. See, that's what brings you into connection with God. Everything that's ever not worked for you happened because of your disconnection with God. Going all the way back to Adam and Eve, all the way back to Cain and Abel, all the way back to the first humans that knew God and then disconnected. I won't speak for those who may not have even known that there was a God or just simply were content to be in harmony with nature. I can't speak for the ones I don't know that stretch back into timeless space. I won't speak about them, but from the time that we were accountable to a relationship with God and receiving the teachings of a higher life, everything went wrong because we disconnected. Everything. And everything goes right because you reconnected. Go into a room without anyone else in it. If you don't have a dark room, put on an eye mask. Be comfortable in your chair, on the floor, on the ground. Be away from worldly stimulation. And just express your gratitude. God has given you everything. Be grateful for it. Receive his presence. And he will know from connecting with your love everything you need. When your love has been denied, or impinged upon, or doubted, or not fulfilled, or even betrayed, he'll see it. But he counts upon you requesting him. There's a reason for that. And in several places in the Bible, he expects, it is said, that he expects for you to call. And Yeshua said, knock, and the door will be opened. Ask, and you shall receive. Have faith, and you will be healed. In other words, we are responsible for initiating our reconnection. God did not disconnect from us. never did, never will. God did not disconnect from us. Even in the worst of times, he allowed nature to just follow its course. And I want to give you an example. It's something I would wager dollars from my purse. You've never read this or seen this. It's about when Moses led the Hebrews into the Red Sea, and the Red Sea parted. And by the way, there is actually geological records indicating that such an event did happen. But when he led them into there, here's what you probably didn't see or recognize. The waters had not parted when he led them into, he didn't lead them into parted waters. He led them into the Red Sea that would have killed them in a matter of minutes from drowning, suffocation, battering, or all the other fatal inflictions a sea can bring upon a human body. The sea parted after they walked into it. You need to understand that. They trusted God. They trusted the leadership of Moses, and they simply walked into the water. And the waters parted. That's the power of faith. That's the power of faith to ignite the love that you are. The love that you are is, was, and will always be created in the image of God. God's creation will not oppose God. You have to understand the power of God to simply be. To simply be. Moses asked, "By what name shall we call you?" And God's answer was, "I am that I am," which means all I have to be is be. I do not come by a name. I am, and I am by my own authority to be. There's a further extension on that, which I think we all at times need to take recognition of it and be obedient to it. And this is why obedience matters. God expects obedience, but it's not because he wants you to be a servant to things that are not justice. He doesn't want you to be a servant to injustice, to be compliant with things that are not right, simply because the world says you must do this. You should not be obedient to slavery. You should not be obedient to criminal oppression. That is not the correct and rightful application of obedience. But God says be obedient. And let me tell you why. Because it is he, in having your prayers work. There are laws in this universe created by God. God does not break his own laws. Period. He does not break his own laws. God says, don't lie. That's a law. That's a law. But you're in a situation where you've got to maneuver your way through things by setting up some narratives that you think will work more effectively for you. And you pray and say, oh, Heavenly Father, will you forgive me in advance and see me through this? Will you hold up my story so that I can get through this? Because if I tell the truth, I'll be slaughtered. And God doesn't protect your narrative. He says, tell the truth and I will uphold you. God does not break his law. God does not give you permission to steal. He will give you permission to multiply the tiniest seed that is in your possession and do so in the company of your enemies. And they will be amazed that you came from nothing into something greater than they are. He will magnify you. He will not break his laws. You need to learn those laws. And a big one, you're probably thinking a big one today is adultery. And yes, there's a lot of that going on, but that's not the one I'm thinking about. The one that is so glossed over by motivational teachers, marketing hype, competition in the marketplace. Do this, pick up what somebody else has been successful with and you do it better. Thou shalt not covet. Why? It doesn't matter that somebody else owns a fleet of trucks and all you've got is a moped. Doesn't matter. Because that moped is yours. And you can say, oh Lord, how can I make the most of everything I have? And he will be there with you. And he will turn that moped into a recreational vehicle that can be leased or rented. And then into the next thing, perhaps in the leisure industry you can supply to. And on and on and on. And you own more than that guy with a fleet of trucks. You cannot expand what was not given to you. But the least of what was given to you can be expanded into the wealth of your life. Jesus said, if you have so much faith as a grain of mustard, a little mustard seed, which is about the size of a poppy seed, you could turn that into everything you need. Because that is, if God gave you that mustard seed, now if you stole it from somebody else, that's a different story. But I hope you get the message. The least of ideas in yourself can become a palace of success by asking God, what do I do with this? How do I build this into my life? How do I feed this, my children with this? You know you can't go and steal something to feed your children because you might get away with it today, but you can't get away with it tomorrow. People will be waiting to arrest you if you try it again. In other words, what isn't yours can't be multiplied. And he demonstrated that with the loaves and the fishes. Anything that has been given to you can be multiplied. Now, I do know a story that I can share with you that goes back to the days of Hurricane Katrina, when New Orleans was very, very in deep distress. Of course, all forms of rescue and assistance were there, trying to feed people, rescue people, get them out of the flooded waters and the rooftops of homes. And I followed that very, very closely because New Orleans was my home for 7 years, and I had lots of friends there. I had one of my favorite doctors was there, and his clinic was inundated, completely destroyed by the floods. But he and his family were rescued by a private helicopter that his sons had leased and brought them out in. But he told some stories after he was rescued that, brought this home. People would break into homes that still might have some food left in the pantries in rooms that weren't flooded, and they would clean them out. And that was, I'm sure, a completely justifiable thing in the eyes of God. But the thing is, there wouldn't be food in the pantry tomorrow. It wouldn't be there tomorrow. So he, being a doctor, he connected with other rescue facilitators to come in and check out everything and clear out everything before it was destroyed, and then redistribute it and use it as currency to prove the magnitude of need that had to come into New Orleans to continue rescuing people. So there are ways that we can take any situation and turn it into something that is more rightfully in the will of God. You can rise to your best. Do your best today. If you do your best today, then let me give you the premise on this. You're created in the image of God. You may not know everything you can do or even should do, but you can do your best today. And if you do your best today, and then you find out tomorrow you could do better, then do better. Sometimes it's a gradual progression. You're not omnipotent. You're not all-knowing. You're not a saint. But you can do your best, because your best comes from the love that you are. Just do your best and give it to God. I think that's really basically what Moses did for what I understand. Pardon me, I'm going to get up. I'll be with you. So just pray on that thought, okay? I had to get some water, otherwise I would be coughing in your ear. I still have that little lingering cough, but most of the time, it's fine. You know, I could be coughing through the day. And this is a good example. I get online with you, and I know I'm with God. And that cough goes away. I don't need cough drops. I don't need cough syrup. It's good to keep my throat lubricated and having some water to sip on, but other than that, it goes away. An hour after I'm off my call with you, it starts coming back. Why? Not because I'm a bad person. Not because I did something wrong. I got embedded in the world. You know, time for dinner, a friend calls, I go out and pick up something to eat, go through traffic, I'm back in the world. The cost comes back. It's going to happen. And don't place judgment against yourself. Don't place judgment against God. Just be content to be in the world. You could even say, and this works most of the time for me. It really actually does. I can just say, thank you, God, that I have a new day and I'm in the world. Help me drive safely and or help me do whatever I need to do. And that, you know, everything goes better. With everything going better, I forget about what my troubles are. Just do the best you can. The best you can is going to be closer to God than when you're not doing the best you can. Because the best you can is the love that you are. That's one of the most practical ways I could describe it. But Yeshua had some other things that I'll ascribe. He sent the apostles into the world to spread the news, the good news. And he sent them without anything. They probably had a knapsack on their back. They might have taken some things. But as far as we know, they only had the sandals on their feet and the clothes on their back. They went into the world to take his message. Now, that was his way of making sure they did not adulterate the message because they wouldn't survive. As long as they took his truth with them, they always had a place to sleep that night. They always had food to eat because they had news to tell that everybody wanted to hear. Why did they suffer? We don't know. We know that they acted in good spirit. But I imagine it was the same thing that Christians all over the early world encountered, is that the enemies became afraid and attacked them. They wanted to suppress this dangerous movement before it got out of hand. And especially they wanted to destroy the teachers of this dangerous movement before it got out of hand. So it seems to have been very characteristic for all of the apostles at a certain point after they went, after they had churches established, they had congregations established, they were becoming a visible presence in the world. And Rome wanted to stop it, just like it wanted to stop it with Yeshua. But the love continued. No one could stomp the love out, because the love was always connected with God. It just got transferred to other people. See, the apostles became a target. But you give that love to thousands of other people, that love is not so easy to target. And then you give that love to hundreds of thousands of people, it's impossible to target. You got to just join the movement. And that's exactly what Rome did. give the love, share the love that you are. But let's don't confuse it with the sentimental side of love. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes on this, and I don't want you to take it in any kind of negative way, because actually love in any form is a good thing. But there were a few philosophers starting in the 17th century and moving on into the 20th century who were really reveling in the greater prosperity of a more beneficial world. There were fewer hardships, greater profits to be earned. And that was, to some degree, in its own way, the beginning of what we call the prosperity ministry today. It was also the beginning of metaphysical teachings, which are wonderful. I mean, our metaphysical teachers that taught us what you think is what you become. So, so important. So I don't want you to take that in the stride. But it was carried to an extreme to where we thought that the average person was beginning to think that love was about what you feel on Valentine's Day. And this was called sentimentalism. Love is what you feel for your best friend, for your sweetheart, for your spouse, your children. And we began to think of the love we have for, well, let's just focus on the children prospect. By giving them all the good things of the world, feeding them, caring for them. Of course we want to do that. But also indulging them and giving them benefits. Spoiling them, okay, that's the word that was on the tip of my tongue. And that's not always what love is. Love is teaching them how to be the best they can be. And so often, when we spoil our children, we teach them how to be lazy and to feel entitled. We give that entitlement to our best friend. And then we judge those who've not really shown up that well to us. Jesus would have dispelled that completely. He did not give the apostles an easy life. He did not give them the best of a meal. They lived on barley and fishtails sometimes, whatever they could put in a stew. He gave them challenges. And you know what? Those challenges were love. Giving them the best of a meal and a glass of wine would have been teaching them entitlement. And he didn't do that. Now, this approach survived through the ages in monasteries, in the priesthood, in the missionaries that went around the world, expecting nothing special except an opportunity to be present and allowing people to see what love looks like. This is what God shows you, what love looks like. And he doesn't always spoil you. He would rather heal you than give you, he would rather heal you from a deadly disease than to give you a Mercedes. He doesn't work that way. He does love to love you come to him, gratitude is the best way to come to God. He created you. What could you not be grateful for? You're his child. You've been honored above other life. What could you not be grateful for? Come to him in gratitude. And then in sweetness, in praise, in love. Sometimes all I will say is, I'm here to love you and feel the joy of being in the presence of your love. It makes him blush. He likes to be loved. Try it. He's a daddy that loves to be loved by his kids. But you come to him, not the other way around. Don't get yourself in trouble and then blame him. Well, he could have bailed me out of this, and he didn't. So there's just no God. There's no God. He never comes to me when I need it. And my answer is, did you ever call him? Did you ever wait a moment for him to hear you? To hear the sincerity of your request? Well, no, because I'm not even sure he exists. Why would I make a fool out of myself? Okay. There's the answer of an atheist. And he goes away, an atheist. He says, hey, wait a minute. Let me pray with you. Come here. Let's just sit and be quiet. You just be quiet. Don't say a thing. Feel the love. Let it come over you. Just feel the love. And that's what I ask you. In all the blessings, every blessing, to ask, I will pray for you. And then I ask you to pray. It doesn't matter that you don't cover everything you would like to see healed or improved or handled. You are the love that you are. He will feel it. And then he will know the rest of the story completely. And then you go and be quiet. Feel the love coming over you. That love, first thing it will do is it's just going to be with you. And then it's going to take a deeper look into you. What is working well for you? What are you really needing? And what you really need may be something different from what you're asking for. It's going to search you out. He's going to leave seeds, and he will leave opportunities. He will leave connections and pathways, and most of all, love. He will forgive you for everything you didn't understand. And a lot of times, what we don't receive is partly because of what we didn't understand. We didn't understand, so we didn't know really what to pray for, how to pray. We didn't know who the other parties in our trouble were suffering or where they were really coming from. We just didn't know. But he knows. And he'll forgive you. And he'll give you understanding and wisdom. Direction. And in that direction, you will go in a pathway that begins retrieving the blessings that he's placed on your path. And you'll harvest them and you say, wow, I didn't know that was even there. Well, it might not have been there before today, but you're going to discover it when you're ready for it. You have to be open to receive. And you receive your blessing. Okay. Well, we are at our time to Nancy to shift over. And Nancy, you take over. Take a look at the board and see if there's anyone there.
We do have some folks. Let me open the line. Thank you, Glenda. That was extraordinary. We have our first caller is Nancy. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Nancy.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, Nancy. I actually called at the very beginning when you weren't, Nancy wasn't getting phone calls, and I was going to tell her a short little story about kind of God and reality and being the love you are. And, but it's kind of long, so not super long, but still. So I hung up. So I'm kind of surprised, but that's okay. Long story short, I know now everybody's saying, holy cow. But long story short, I somehow managed to get my car in a car wash and get a flat tire.
Oh, no.
Yes, I did.
What a predicament.
I know. I mean, it took a lot of effort on my part to manage this. Then I called my husband, you know, I said a little prayer because I'm thinking, oh, this is bad. And the people in the car wash place said, well, you can call corporate headquarters or someplace in New York. So I said, well, I'll just call my husband instead. So he came and he managed to get the car out of the car wash, but it still had a flat tire as he started to change it. And we're both 83. I mean, it's not like he was hopping to it and everything was great. And it was very hot outside and the sun was beating down on us. Well, this man, he was a construction worker. He came up in a big truck and he kind of observed us as he came around the corner into the car wash. And he stopped his truck, pulled it over, and he walked over and he said, could I be of help? And he changed the tire for us. It was the kindest, most loving thing. And he said, we wanted to pay him. And he said, oh, no, it's a blessing for me, he said. And I will be blessed in some other way. And
oh, of course.
Oh, my. I mean, he was just wonderful. And I kept thinking, when you talk about God in reality and being the love you are, that man, his name was Eric. He surely was. He surely was.
Amen.
So that was the story.
I
was kind of surprised when you called me, but that was it.
Well, thank you.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, this illustrates one of the most important things that I was communicating in the message today. You could have called corporate headquarters to rescue it, but what is corporate? It's in the world. Instead, you call the one you love into you, and the one you love brought in the love of God, who then brought in Eric.
That's exactly right. It was, that's really the way it felt. And it turned out Eric was our angel. And this was early in the day. This was late in the day. So Eric had been working. I mean, oh, my goodness, was he wonderful.
Well, see, it didn't matter that your husband couldn't change the tire. That was what mattered is that you brought in the one you love. And then that brought in more love. And sometimes it takes a chain of four or five before you get the one who can do the job in the world. But it's that chain of love, the presence of God, that brings in the world, the one in the world who can do the work.
Amen. Amen. My husband could change the tire. But, boy, was Eric fast. He apparently changes tires more frequently than we do. We haven't changed one in decades. So,
well, yeah. Tires today last forever almost.
We had to get out the owner's manual and started looking up changing the tire. I mean, holy cow. It was under the trunk. You know, new cars are a little different from cars like they used to be.
Uh-huh.
They used to sit on the back bumper or something where you could see them. No more. They hide them. But anyway, anyway, that was the story. And you're so right. It was such a, you just felt the love. I was even laughing and joking with the kids inside the store where I went to tell them that my car was in there with a flat tire, and they said, "Call a tow truck." But anyway, no, that's not the way to solve problems. But anyway, it was such a good feeling. I mean, I felt so thankful and so loved that my husband would come in just a blazing hot day and help me get it out. And then everything that happened, you're absolutely right. It was a chain, and it all worked out fine.
Nancy, while I've got you on the phone, I want to thank you for a very loving letter I received from you. And you're going to get one, a very loving letter back from me that I will write on Monday. And I think it's going to spread a lot of love in our community. This is the way seeds of love work. I want to thank you for your very generous support over the years. You have been a lighthouse at times of darkness that was not unnavigable, but it sure did help light brighten the day.
Well, so, thank goodness. If I could be a little light, thank you. I am so glad and so blessed to do that.
I will be back. And you're going to get my letter next week because I'm writing it tomorrow.
Okay, great.
It's lots of work over the weekend, and you know, even when we're inspired and carried by God, we still have our priorities. Because
that's exactly right.
Even God has His priorities.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Nancy.
Well, I'm going to open our next line. We have a couple more callers. We have Caroline. Your line is open. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And Nancy, I still have my tire above my bumper. I have an old 2005 CLV, so obviously an old car. It's a great story that you told. Wow. So. As I may have said in some previous calls, I'm doing this mini orchard project, clearing the back of my house. It's about 1/10 of an acre, and there have been all kinds of problems that have ensued. It's been a little bit difficult to get things working the way they should, and then I also have this altercation with my neighbor across the gulch, who was across that I cleared some of the weed trees that were in their section inadvertently, and I'm still trying to resolve that. I'm not sure how that's going to go because they have been kind of yelling at us and cursing at us. And the woman is going, they're going through a very difficult time in their lives anyway. The woman's got some health issues and the guy's lost his job, so they're not the happiest of folks. And, you know, they want to get a load of money from me and they haven't gone for the, I thought I gave them a very generous offer and all this kind of stuff. And my partner wants it resolved. He doesn't want them to come and cut down our fruit trees and stuff in revenge. So I need some more blessings on that. I've been trying to, you know, not forgive them and have them forgive me and all of this kind of stuff. And I had a few good conversations with the woman, but when the guys get involved with everything, it starts to get acrimonious again. So I'm just hoping that we're going to get a resolution on this, which allows us to be cordial neighbors in the future. So that's the blessing. Blessing for this little mini orchard, trying to be a bit more self-sufficient with food and stuff like that. And in the situation with my neighbor, you know, it's a little micro conflict, you know, maybe reflective of all the conflicts that are going on in the world. We all need resolution and a more peaceful coexistence.
Well, we pray for the presence of God in a situation because sometimes, pardon me just a minute. Pardon me. Sometimes the presence of God is what it takes because the love that we are loving as you are, and the fact that even the neighbors who are contending against you have their own love within the situation, it's not strong enough compared to the conflicts of the situation. And we pray for the presence of God to just be so obvious that everyone shuts up and listens. And I think silence and prayer, quiet prayer and silence and peace, the kind of love that exists in surrender and turning it over to God can be found. Because you need the presence of God in this. It's getting very, very messy. And messy doesn't get the job done. There's obviously an answer. But the conflict
is
built.
I have a lawyer that wants to get involved and is really hot to trot and doesn't think these people are in good faith at all. So, but I've been holding him off quite a bit, you know, because I wanted to see whether we could resolve this in an amicable fashion. So that's my issue.
Sometimes,
right now.
Now, this is an example of what I was trying to say at one brief moment. Sometimes we confuse amicable with love. We think just having better manners. We think just helping people feel okay about what's going to happen. The fact is, love is what solves the problem.
And are you saying sometimes that can be tough love?
Absolutely. In fact, in a world as complicated as ours, most of the real love in the world is tough love. Sentimentalism is not working. It won't work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeshua actually did not use sentimentalism. He would come in everyone's face and exactly tell them what he thought about them. He confronted the Pharisees. He confronted the rabbis. He confronted everyone that was, he didn't use kind language to help them feel good about being a little off. Well, we know you're just a little off center today, but you're a good person. He didn't do that. He was willing to pay the price. He was saying, I love you to the ultimate. Let me show you how much I love you. And he did it. There was nothing in his world about sentimentalism. Nothing. Do what works, my dear, because what works will bring the love in you out. Not your loving manners. It will bring the love in you up to its par.
Right. Not just paying as much money as they keep asking for, and really is not warranted and excessive, that kind of stuff. I mean, I feel that I'm almost like...
You need justice. You need justice here, not shouting and arguments, just justice.
Right.
Go for justice.
Yep. Go for justice. Well, thank you.
Stay in your love and stay. Don't let them remove you from your love.
Love commands.
Right. Remember, love commands. It doesn't resort to control. And, But the world likes us to pity. Yep. So, Yep, well, we're gonna hold that there for you, Caroline, and you will be blessed today. I know you will. And
thank you.
We love you. And we have one more caller. Jinya, you're on the line.
Oh, hi, Jinya.
Hi, this is for you, Glenda. Happy 30th birthday.
Oh, is it today?
Yes. The 26th,
Oh, yeah. It is.
Your spiritual birthday.
Oh, my goodness, you're right. You are right. I knew, you know, I'd forgotten, but I knew this was a special day because it's the 26th day of the 26th year of this millennium. Wow.
Well, Glenda, yeah, I have in my notes on my phone, obviously your birthday is the 4th of February, but your spiritual birthday in my notes is today, 4/26. Isn't that something? Jenny, I had that too. I forgot.
Well,
yeah,
I have that too, and I forgot. because you know what? Once you really get it, every day is your spiritual birthday.
That's right. That's right.
But this is the day when my life turned around. I mean, I didn't just turn a page. I opened the book, and everything was laid out for me.
Correct. Today's a special day.
So many things before that I really couldn't see. I was at the table listening, yes. I was wanting to spread the news, yes. But I hadn't really opened the book of my own life. See, that's what I'm getting to about you being the best you are, everybody. You got to open the book of your own life and see what's there, because love is who you are. And you can't hide it with gestures. You can't hide it with just sweet conversations or even arguments that you think are better than going to court. One of my favorite movies from way back in the old days was To Kill a Mockingbird, and it was the way Gregory Peck, starring as Atticus Finch, defended a black man who was accused of a serious crime, and he did not commit it, but the prevailing spirit of prejudice was going to possibly cost him his life. And the defense that Atticus Finch presented to defend this man and save his life, it wasn't sweet, but he got the job done. He saved this man's life. And not only that, for that community, he turned around the whole attitude of people in the community against prejudice interfering with justice. Sometimes people get so mad for all the wrong reasons. They hate something. They hate somebody. And they want to make themselves right by changing the laws, by injustice. And you got to stand up for justice. That's what Yeshua did. People ask me, well, if he was so sweet, why did he go into the temple and turn over the table? Why did he kick over the table where the rabbis were just exchanging money? Why did he do that? Isn't he supposed to be sweet? No. He never said to anybody, alive or dead, the Son of God is sweet. The Son of God brings justice and law, redemption, and immortal life. The Son of God is not the servant of the world. And the world tries to launder itself with sentimentalism. If I'm just sentimental enough, people will think I'm loving. And then I can keep on going with all my prejudice, all my hate, and I'll just be sweet. You've met a few people like that. I guarantee you have, because the world is full of them. They're called hypocrites. Someone who will defend the justice of even those they hate. Those are righteous people. Those are righteous people. Because they're defending the laws of God. God does not break his own laws. And God loves through love. And he doesn't care about somebody's sentimental sweetness that was used hypocritically to cover up the fact that they actually hated somebody. You're not going to get attention from God. Let me tell you something. God knows your heart. He knows exactly who you are because he created you. He knows what your love looks like if it's real. And he doesn't care what your fake love looks like. We've had a lot of some recent movements since the onset of the what we call the New Age movement. I don't want in any way to undermine the power of that movement because it really helped us to become responsible for our spiritual life and not just turn it over to theology to tell us what was right. And it allowed us to see that what we think is what we become. There's so many good things that came from it, but the downside of it is it helped to encourage sentimentalism. And that's not gonna cut it with God. God is one with reality. He's going to defend reality. And he's gonna cut through all of our attempts to fake it. Doesn't work. Give it up. It doesn't work. Just be the love that you are, and you'll be fine. Not only will you be fine, you'll be prosperous. And not only will you be prosperous, you'll be happy. How's that for a consequence? You know, just be the happy farmer that plants the seed, cultivates it with the natural elements of the earth and harvests it.
Yeah. Exactly. I was just thinking, Glenda, releasing structure as your master, you know, the serving of two gods kind of thing. And Well, where does the power really come from? And where does your consciousness expand? Certainly not from the division of the world and pitting each other against each other. It's just...
It doesn't
matter.
Well, and then it's extended by desperate people who don't know who they are. Okay, we pray for everyone, not for all of their external actions and behaviors. But we pray for their soul. We pray for their reunion with God, which is what Yeshua came to this world to facilitate. And is continuously with us to remind us, knock on our door just a little bit, to bring out just one little real piece of love so that we can do the right thing. And in doing the right thing, what are we going to follow? Naturally, we're going to follow life in the living. And what's going to bring our prosperity to us? Naturally, the life. Okay. Now, we're going to get ready for next. You think today was heavy? Just wait till we dig into next week. Forgive.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Just wait till we put the plow to that field.
Yay. Well, I'm going to put us in lecture mode, and thank you for this extraordinary lesson today. Everyone is still here together on the call. So we are we're blessed today, y'all. This has been wonderful.
Well, on the one hand, I do apologize and ask for the patience and the forgiveness of those who waited and waited to receive the blessing. But I will remind you again, that the patient are rewarded with the love of God. And so hopefully this prepared you to receive even deeper, fuller blessings. And we're going to go right there in just giving a little minute of instruction, knowing that some of you may be here for the first time. You're going to receive your blessing from a seated position. And that seated position is so that you can be relaxed, but your feet can be on the ground. Our beautiful planet is an instrument of grounding for all of the cosmic rays of love and life that are being directed toward us in such an abundant field. We probably couldn't even focus on them all if it weren't for the grounding of the earth. So I want your feet on the ground. Without shoes or socks, if possible. If not, then only with natural elements. Be sure to take off your Nikes. I don't want all of that manufactured polyform material to come between you and the earth, because the earth is what will ground you, not those shoes. Okay? And take them off. If your socks are not natural elements, then take them off too. If they are natural elements, then you can keep them on. Same with a covered head. Some of you may have spiritual faith that says to cover your head in the presence of God. That's good. It's okay. But have it be natural elements, please. Wool, silk, cotton, linen, bamboo, that's fine. I don't know what all the natural elements are, maybe. A blend of linen and cotton, well, that would be fine, too. There's just dozens of fabrics that are natural. Just make sure you picked one of those. We don't want polyester, okay? We don't want nylon, okay? To have it be natural, stay with your feet, okay, because we're pulling in God's energy. We're pulling in the energy that belongs to that which he created. And yes, you can say, well, he created me in all my forms. But your mind has adapted some things away from his creation because of the world. So we want to make sure you're just pulling in the pure energy of God so it can reconstruct, reorganize, and bless everything that you are. You're going to sit there and you're just going to receive. I will pray for our community, our world, and you. And then you will pray for yourself and acknowledge your connection. Give gratitude that your Creator is here with you. Thank him in advance, but also in memory for all your blessings that you've ever received. And be in a state of love with God. Then be quiet. And just stay quiet. When our conveyance of his energy is finished, I want you to lie still on a level surface. Your bed is probably the best, but a sofa is fine. The earth is fine, and a mat on the floor is fine. I just want you to be on a level surface where everything is equal and relaxed and in an open state of receiving. So, let us begin. Our Lord, Son of God, who took on life to be with us and to know life in the way we live it, the one who lived life with us to the full extent of empathy and compassion, that he walked with life as we are. We thank you for being with us. We are so grateful to be in your presence. We are so grateful for your gifts, your strength, your courage, your wisdom. And most of all, your love. We ask for blessings upon our world that reunited with people to their Creator, nature to its Creator, that the presence of God is so strong among us. We cannot stray from our true way. And in our true way, we find all the blessings that have been given and are waiting for us. We ask for your guidance along the way. We ask for you to point to the good things and away from those seeming opportunities that would only distract us and betray us. Take us away from our obsession with the world and give us a greater passion for the glory and the love of God. Give us a passion for justice and right living, for loving our neighbor and swaying away from justice, from judgment, that we know not how to make, for we do not know the whole story of anything playing out. Be with us this afternoon in our openness and allow us to receive without defense, without filter, without prejudice. Just receive the love of God that knows our love and seeks reunion with us. All of this we ask in your blessed name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you stand and join me in of the Holy Spirit upon each person here and all areas of their concern and hope for goodness. Will you join me now?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. But it won't stop there. It's just been given. You will continue receiving. Now it's just recline and be quiet. Don't even continue your prayer because we don't want your mind to even possibly block anything. Just be quiet. Be still. Be with God and receive. At least 7 minutes. But it's okay to take longer. If you want to fall asleep, that's okay too. I wish many blessings for the rest of your day, your week, and your whole life, and forever. For God is with you forever. Bye-bye for now.